from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
So we're almost at the end of the season of Race Unwrapped, and I just wanted to both thank you all for listening this season and tell you a little bit about the process of how it gets done. We do research, we find great guests, we interview those guests, and then it is mixed and put together along with promoting it, and that costs just a little bit of money to do. So if you can contribute $10, $20, $30, whatever is your comfort level, then we would really appreciate your support. Just go to WFPL.org/raceunwrapped and click on donate. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Welcome to Race Unwrapped, a podcast unwrapping all the ways race affects our world, whether we're thinking about it or not. My guest this episode is Dr. Ricky Jones. He's a professor and chair of the University of Louisville's Department of Pan-African Studies. And we're going to talk about riots, more specifically the use of the word riots to describe any protests by Black people. This is Race Unwrapped. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, and my guest this episode is Ricky Jones. Dr. Jones wears many hats, with his primary job being a professor at the University of Louisville. On this episode, we talk about the use of the word riots, who's using the word, and who and what the word is usually describing. Professor Ricky Jones, this is Michelle Tyrene Johnson. How you doing?
Hey, what up, sis? How you doing?
I am better now that you are on the other side of this mic. I know who you are, so in my mind, everybody knows who you are. But could you just give the quick and dirty on who you are, Ricky?
Okay. Name's Dr. Ricky Jones for people who want to be formal about it. I do a number of things. I'm the chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville. Written several books on race and politics, latest being What's Wrong with Obamamania. It came out some years ago. Working on a new one called Kaepernick, Confederates, and Con Artists. I'm also an opinion columnist for the Louisville Courier Journal, part of USA Today Network. I host a radio show for iHeartMedia called The Ricky Jones Show. And sometimes I'm a professional wrestling manager
wrestling.
Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Wrestling manager. Now, how did I not know that one? Okay. All right. Keeping it fresh, Ricky. Keeping it fresh. I like it. I saved the word riots for you because I know riots is one of those words that whether you're highly edumacated boy, a girl in the hood, you know, we have feelings about how the word riots versus protests versus uprisings is used.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna toss it to you right away. What's your view on use of the word riots when it comes to talking about Black folks marching?
It plays in to this historic trope of Black people being animalistic, wild, uncontrollable, and violent. You know, that's what that word always, brings to the surface of the American consciousness when you talk about riots. You know, one is that these things are unprovoked, that these people are out in the streets doing these dastardly, demonic things for no reason. You know, they're not responding to anything that's real. They're creating things in their heads, and they're looking for, you know, some reason to go out and be destructive and loot and, you know, every other negative thing under the sun. And so that word can be used, you know, to cast Black people in these barbaric terms so that folks don't have to deal with, you know, certainly not just the individual, but the collective systemic issues and circumstances that bring on, you know, these confrontations races in the first place. So when you use in that context, it's very racialized.
Riot is just, I don't know about you, but it's like fingers on the chalkboard to me whenever I hear any and all protests described as a riot, especially when it involves Black folks. Why is it that people, do you think, jump to that? And you use the word looting. Why is it that looting seems to be something that people are hyper-focused on, even when there are protests that do not have an ounce of looting?
Because it's a diversionary tactic to keep people away from the real issues that are motivating, you know, the coming together of Black people who are trying to really seek and reaffirm this American idea of freedom, equality, justice, and for Black people, even humanity and their right to exist. You know, that's what these gatherings have been about since 1619, even though we have Kentucky's senator, Kentucky's senior senator and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell kind of defined the importance of 1619, which is the year that marks the first Africans brought to America as slaves. He defines the importance of that year out of existence, saying that it really shouldn't be a foundational part of American civic education, which is flawed. It's wrong. But what we're seeing is a continuation of an ideology that things, paper, money, materials to white America, by and large, matter more than Black lives. They matter more than Black people. So folks will start to talk about property, you know, buildings, even a flat screen television being more important than Black people, their struggles, their suffering, and even their lives. So they rather talk about those things than talk about, you know, the systemic oppression that's existed in the country since the country's founding. And after you do things for so long and say things for so long, folks start to adopt that language, adopt that rhetoric, and they don't even understand what they're doing anymore. So I'm not going to say that every American who uses that terminology is very conscious of the racially charged element of that terminology. But they've simply been socialized that way, which makes them even more dangerous because they don't have the capacity to really intellectually engage what they're doing, but they still perpetuate that view of the world and that view of Black people. So they're really just saying that property matters more than Black people. Again, reducing Black people to a level not just of things, but of inconsequential things. And so we see that quite frequently in every region of the country because the rhetoric shows up again and again and again. It's not just in the South.
You know, I had a conversation with actually a very close and dear friend of mine who is white, male, and Republican. And I had to check him once when he made references to riots. And I said pretty much what you just said, but, you know, in my own language. And he goes, yeah, but when they burn down police stations, that's a riot. And I'm like, so you're taking an individual situation. Like, there have literally been hundreds, if not thousands, of protests around the world. This is in the aftermath of the George Floyd protest around the world, and your example is to go to the one out of, you know, 500 times that a police station was burnt down. what do you think that's about?
In academia, what we would call that would be reductionism. You know, what it'll take one situation, one outlier, one strange, anomalous situation, and then expand that into something much larger. So they're drawing conclusions on something that you shouldn't draw conclusions on because it happens so infrequently. It's very rare that a police station is burned. And so there are a couple of things there. One, just again, the use of the term. Mm-hmm. know, when American colonists rose up against the crown of England because they were being mistreated and they didn't think that they were being given the rights that they deserved as citizens. Nobody said it was the American riot. They called it the American Revolution, didn't they? Much more respectable term, because revolution is something that happens because people are demanding great social political change. That's what it is. So if they say, well, these people are out engaging in revolutionary behavior, then there's more respect to that term. But you got to say riots. And, you know, beyond that, even if police stations were burned every day, if police are out wantonly killing black people in the streets every day, then could that not be somehow reasoned through? And you think about why police stations are being targeted. Because, in effect, you're setting up a situation where agents of the state are at war with black people in a lot of ways. You know, and black people are losing. Mm. Generally, black people are not fighting back. Yeah. They're not even armed. It runs back to the same thing. It runs back to, in effect, not just disrespecting people coming together, whether you want to call it protests, insurrections, or revolutions. It comes really back to disrespecting the conditions that black people are having to endure, not just historically, but also contemporarily in America.
And that's the reason why this year, in particular, the use of the word riots is interesting, because the number of people I've seen on social media, I'm sure you've seen it too. White people who were trying to act like what happened on January 6th wasn't a riot or insurrection. Like really? Like, you, I mean, what is it? Is it an old Richard Pryor joke? Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? I mean, it's just interesting how there are certain folks, not all folks, of course. Let me just be clear. # not all white people.
we both have white friends, right?
Exactly. So we both know. Like, it's not our friends we need to say that to. It's the white people we don't know who we have to make clear. We're not talking about all white people. But anyway, but it's sort of like, oh, so now you get how the use of the word riot is offended. You offended that we're using the word riot. You ain't been offended by the use of the word. So when we've been talking for years about how that's a problematic use of a word without proper contemporary historical context, you blow that off as PC. But, oh, you don't like who that word is being applied to now. Have you seen that argument?
Yeah, but they don't make the linkages. They don't make the racial linkages, though. You know, they'll reject the use of the term riot, what happened in January 6th. But what they also don't do, they'll reject the term riot. But if you try to say, look, there is an equivalency here, right? If you use the term here and how you use the term, there's an equivalency of disrespect and disregard when you use this term about gatherings for racial justice in this country. And they'll say, oh, this isn't about race. You know, there's nothing that we've said, no argument that we've made that's about race here. And here's the neat trick. When you talk about words like riot being used in the racial context of which they're used, folk who you are righteously taking to task on it will turn and say, oh, you're a racist.
Oh, my God.
You're making everything about race.
Oh, my God.
You're the one who's keeping all of this stuff going and, in effect, will define the real problem out of existence because it's a problem that they have created and they continue to perpetuate. But look, I understand the intensity of your response, right? The intensity of your response is rooted in understanding what's going on in the real world and then seeing people in effect telling you that this, what you are seeing is not real. Like you said, it's going back to, you know, the old comedian thing. Was it Eddie Murphy or Martin Lawrence? Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes?
Right, right.
And so it's an incredible thing, you know. These people, they're not living in the real world. You know, that Fox News world and that Republican world, it's just not the real world.
And I think the other thing that particularly bothers me about riot used as this almost given sort of gaslighting term to describe protest is up until recently, I lived in downtown Louisville, like literally on Broadway, where I saw some of the protests going down my street, the Breonna Taylor protests going down my street. And it is more than once crossed my mind when I was watching it that conservative white people who would call this a riot would be the first people to be ecstatic if these folks were marching down the street in this way on an issue that they supported.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are about the loss of life that they thought happened unjustly. Like, the way this is happening would be something that you would be glorifying, not demonizing. But because it's people, you know, going down the street. And this is the other part of it, too, which I'm sure you'll appreciate, my brother, is Black people do things with such energy and flair and musicality. Like, we make... I mean, sometimes I feel like the use of the word riot is because you know that you can't outdo Black people and that we are doing something that is so amazingly powerful. And then our allies, because that's the other aspect of it. Like, when you see all the white and brown allies going down the street, you really have to characterize it as a riot because, oh my God, you know, this has turned into something bigger than just a few loud Black people.
Well, there's a history to it as well, which I think is important to contextualize. And I think it is good because we are seeing an increased volume right now of non-Black allies who are participating in these movements. And I think that is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not completely new.
Right. True.
People should remember this. You know, people should remember this. White. Who have been involved in the freedom struggle, you know, and I'm going to phrase it like this, because I think there are a few other terms that have been just emptied out. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. It just means nothing. So I'm going to use this term. There have been white allies in fighting against anti-Blackness in this country. Okay. I'm talking from John Brown, William Lloyd Garrison, on up, you know, white brothers and sisters.
Yes, I'm from Kansas, so I could. If we jumped in the car, it'd take us 8 hours, but I could take you right to the John Brown statue. Yes,
right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, the young white brothers killed in the South during the Civil Rights Movement, because here's the worst thing that you can be other than a Black person, other than N-word.
You about to say what I told a girlfriend of mine who's white, but go on, tell it.
The only worst thing, the only thing worse than an N-word is an N-word lover.
Yes, that's exactly what I said to her. Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So white people who have participated with us in trying to gain some modicum of humanity have been seen as race traitors and have often been killed.
Yeah, that's right.
They certainly always despised by their own. But here's this too, we talk about the word riot and who it's affixed to. Nobody in their right mind would say that Martin Luther King Jr. was a threat to people physically. He wasn't burning no police stations.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't stealing no TVs from Target. Wasn't doing any of that, and neither were his followers. But people still saw King as a riotous person.
That's right.
That's still the way he was characterized.
That's right.
And sis, this is bleeding even over into our people. Mm-hmm. Because remember, when King is killed in 68, almost 60% of Black people disapproved of him.
Mm.
Now, if almost 60% of Black people disapproved of King in 68, you can only imagine what percentage of white people disapproved of him.
I saw the polls. In fact, okay. I once wrote a long post about this on Facebook a few years ago. I said, if you look at the, I forgot the name of the big polling company that everybody knows, I'm blanking. It's my age, never mind. But when you look at the numbers of the people who disapproved of King in 1968 before he died, it mirrored the people who disapproved of Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it mirrored. It really did. And it's like black protest has never been seen as anything less than a riot at the time it was happening.
Right. I mean, and so my thing in reminding people of this is read, revolutionary read, right? And if you read and really educate yourself on American history and black resistance to white supremacy and all of these movements that white people have called riotous, it is not new. It is not new. These are just modern manifestations of a movement that's been going on since the founding of the country. So you understand what's coming on from the white side. From the black side, you understand that all black people are not dedicated to freedom. Okay?
Yeah.
So you have all these black folks disapproving of King in 68. And it ain't like they were loving Malcolm before he was killed in 65 either. So Daniel Cameron been around.
Ooh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Tim Scott been around. Okay? Mm-hmm. They have been around. Condoleezza Rice, been around.
I mean, if you're gonna throw out names, don't leave Clarence Thomas out of it. Now come on.
Well, Clarence is a given. He's the granddaddy of them all right now living. You know, Clarence Thomas, Ward Connolly, all of these people. And then there's some more people that are not as blatant as those. Because let me tell you, all the Democrats ain't your friend, even if they were the title vice president right now.
Oh, okay. Now stop it.
So I'm just, hey, look, this is just me. And I don't argue with people about it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you do what you want to do. Yeah. You have what you want to have.
No, and I respect where you're coming from. I really do.
What's going on.
Yeah. No. Like I once had somebody in social media BS conversation, a stranger, because none of my white friends would be dumb enough to say this to me, said that white people don't riot. Like, I said, are you insane? Like, and I said, you all riot when there is no more pumpkin spice at Starbucks. You all riot when your teams lose, cars get turned over and burnt, when your sporting team. And this person had the nerve to say, well, that's not rioting. That's just, you know, joyous behavior that gets out of hand. I said,
isn't that beautiful, though?
Oh,
I mean, what that is a very blatant display of power.
Yeah.
Right. That's really what that's about. All of this is really about power. If you stop and think about it, all the way down to the use of terms, right? Like riot. If you have power in a society, then you can sit and determine what's riotous and what's not.
Yes, so true.
And that's what white supremacy, white power has afforded the majority in this country to do. And it's not just the man on the street, though. You know, they're able to make these decisions in political halls when you're talking about policy. They're able to make these decisions in police departments across the country. What's a riot? What is not? They're able to make these decisions in courts across this country about what's rioting and what's not. So this isn't just you and I engaging in some, you know, semantical exchange about what should be considered riots or how the word riot is used. The power behind what that means across lines of race is impacting people's lives.
Exactly.
So every movement that we're engaged in, whether we want to call it a riot, insurrection, or a revolution, I think it's revolutionary. If we're not talking about the redistribution, not just of wealth, but the redistribution of power, that is decision, the ability to make decisions in this country, then what are we really doing? We've reached a point, and it's a sad, sad point in this country, when we have conversations that telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Yes, yes.
And depending on who you talk to, if you tell the truth, that's considered riotous rhetoric. oh, you're trying to cause a riot because you're telling the truth. You know, my thought is, if you ain't going to tell the truth, let's not even have a conversation. If you're going to try to edit my truth, I don't want to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's very important. But it is amazing how many people edit themselves now. Mm. You know, aggrieved parties who will still edit themselves. And for my white friends, I tell them this. You don't get to commit transgressions against people. Mm. Then tell them whether or not the transgressions are transgressions and dictate how they respond to the transgressions. You don't get to do all of that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You just can't do all of it. You're going to do it to me. Tell me whether or not I should be offended by what you did to me. And then tell me how I should respond. Now, you call it a riot or whatever you want to call it, but a response is necessary.
That was Dr. Ricky Jones, a professor in Pan-African Studies at the University of Louisville. In our next and last episode of the season, we're going to talk about the one word you know we can't skip if we're talking about the language of race, the N-word. And be warned, Professor Regina Hamilton and I will be using all the letters of that word in our discussion. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Thank you for listening to Race Unwrapped.
Race Unwrapped is produced by Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Our executive producer is Laura Ellis. Audio assistance from Eric Matthews. And music by Allison Cross. For more information, to contact us, or to support Race Unwrapped, visit wfpl.org/raceunwrapped. From LPM, Louisville Public Media.